did you feel as though you had the means to make the shift because you'd already gone through the financial coaching? What was the process of you transitioning over to a different type of household?
So just picture me just crying a lot.
I'll have what she's having.
Welcome to another edition of
Chitone Confidence
Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Tony Dufresne. This is the She Talks to Confidence podcast. I am a girl dad turned therapist turned women's confidence coach, and I love having strong, powerful women on here with great levels of knowledge and experience in things that, frankly, we all need in terms of like skills and confidence and moving forward. Today, I am very happy to welcome Sarah LaChance. Sarah, how are you?
I'm great. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Sarah is a financial coach. Yeah. She has a company called Flourish Coaching. The website is weareflourishcoaching.com. And I'll put that in the show notes as I always do. And I'm really excited to talk today for a couple reasons. I'd like for you, if you would indulge us, to talk about your financial confidence and how you ended up doing what you're doing from where you were to where you're at now. I just want to throw this out. There's an article in, I think it was The Atlantic. It talked about housing prices. Housing prices have increased by almost 400% since 1985. 400%. Okay. And in 2019, millennials in their 30s, like yourself, paid about $313,000 for a house. While baby boomers in their 30s, you know how much they paid for a house?
No.
$82,000. That's just a small example of the situation, because it's the whole thing about income not growing, the fact that employers are asking for college degrees for a $15 an hour job. Right. It's just insane.
I'm so passionate about this and I love talking about it. So I really appreciate the platform. I just think it's something that we deal with money every single day, but it's not something that we mentally deal with. Mm-hmm. And you just go about your business, and I'm sure you have a lot of friends like I do, where they just hope that they have enough in their bank account to cover whatever they're doing.
Oh God, fingers
crossed is not a game plan and it's not going to last. And I've been there. And I just, my goal and my passion is to help equip people with the knowledge to make their money work for them. So I guess the way that I describe what I do is like you probably have a financial advisor. People that are established and successful, generally like in their 50s and up, they have financial advisors. I am the step before that. So I'm a financial coach. So I'm helping you get your ducks in a row before you need somebody to help you figure out your investments and your retirement strategy. But before you can do any of that, you need to know what you're spending. You need to know what a budget looks like. Like we talked about before we got on air, people aren't balancing a checkbook anymore. But if you're not doing a monthly budget, you have no parameters for what you're spending, what's coming in, what are you saving? Probably not. And as a control freak, that simply does not work for me. And it doesn't work for anybody, whether you're a spender or a saver. It really just doesn't work. All that to say, my backstory is I got married at 21 and brought a minimal amount of money into the marriage. Then we started making more money than 21-year-olds should be making. We were real good at spending it. And as someone who's a saver, I figured out how to spend it. And we did all the things. We bought the cars and the houses and we traveled, which was fantastic. And I think I hit 30 or 31, and a lot of things happened. And that really sparked my journey into personal development. And one of the things that I hit on that journey was my financial competency and my financial confidence. And I looked around and I said, okay, we made a lot of money. Where is it? What do we have to show for it? Had nothing saved for retirement. Didn't even know who to talk to about that. Had a full decade of working and plus years before that with not much to show. Mm-hmm. And then that story is not unique to me. That's how many people's stories. So I really took a deep dive. I read a ton of books. I watched podcasts. I read things. I wanted to know more. I wanted to know how to get a handle on it. And that took some time. It was a big pride pill I had to swallow to figure out what we were spending that was unnecessary. Fast forward, here I am now, 30 something, and not married anymore. and trying to figure out how to set myself, my kids up for success.
When you decided to do the personal development, a lot of stuff comes to the surface, like you said.
Oh, gosh.
From a financial standpoint, did you feel confident that you could do it, or you had your ducks in a row initially, or was the financial thing always part of the, I got to get my stuff together in terms of financing? And now being a single mom, how has that impacted your financial confidence, and what shifts are you making?
So yes to everything of the first part of that. It was like ripping off a Band-Aid. Like, it was necessary, but it was painful. And what I liked about it was it showed me where my weaknesses were, but also where my strengths were. And it did take a lot of background work on my part. And so that's one of the things that I like to do in my coaching, is I'm not doing the work for you as a client. I'm helping you because I already traveled the road. And so I can give you some shortcuts. I was like walking around in the darkness going, what is my next? I don't know what I'm doing. We had a financial advisor, hadn't spoken to him in years. I didn't even know how to find his phone number. And I'm the one who handled the finances. So that was, it was a mess. And I know probably 90% of the population's finances are a mess too. It was a journey, and it took a couple years to figure out, okay, retirement, what does that mean? What does that look like? What do I do? Okay, check that off the list. We got that started. I have kids. What are we doing for their college plan? You have no money saved? That's not a great plan. Let's figure something out. Take that next step. How about a savings account? How about a just anything that's going to grow your money? And I didn't have any of it. And that's why I want to help people. And on that note, I am super passionate about teaching like kids and people in their 20s, because we've talked about this. These mistakes are so common. They're so easy to avoid. But if you don't have anybody walking that road with you, you're going to make them. And then people after, you're going to make them.
That's such a huge point. And I don't know if this is your experience too or not, but financial advisors, I talked to some people in my 30s and stuff, they're not the same. Financial advising is not the same as a financial coach. It really isn't. The financial coach is the advocate for you and the person that's going to help you take a really good deep dive in terms of how things relate to each other. And that's the one thing that I've realized through the process. And that's why the reason I asked you about being like a single mom, because then all of a sudden I was married and had my daughter. And then when she was, you know, one, and then we got divorced. Now all of a sudden I'm a single dad and I had her. I was the girl dad. I was the primary parent.
Okay.
And things change. And all of a sudden, without that other part to it, the other component to it, things drastically shift in regards to what you think you can spend and what you think you can save. And then you're in the weeds and you don't have any level of guidance or understanding. So when that did happen to you, did you feel as though you had the means to make the shift because you'd already gone through the financial coaching? What was the process of you transitioning over to a different type of household?
So just picture me just crying a lot.
There's always tears when it comes to that, right? There always is. It's the initial response to that trauma. Yeah.
Yes. Lots of trauma. I will say, on a side note, my kids have a fantastic dad. He's so involved, and we're so, so blessed and lucky that we can co-parent together. So that makes our situation different in that way. I am very thankful for that. But it did show me, once I started doing my finances by myself, what was necessary versus what was fun. And then what was I willing to compromise on? Buying your avocado toast is not the thing that's going to probably bankrupt you. It's probably not the thing that's going to prevent you from buying a house. However, it could be a waste of money if you don't have the funds for it.
It's the Starbucks every day type of thing. And then at the end of the month, you realize, oh my God, I've spent $400 at Starbucks.
Totally. I watched a video a couple weeks ago of a guy that said that he got, and I don't know why they do this, is such so bad for business, but Starbucks sent him at the end of the year, thank you so much for being a valuable customer. This is how much you spent. $5,000.
Whoa.
Sir, that was a bad choice. And what do you have to show? Do you own Starbucks stock? Are you a managing partner? What do you have to show for that?
A lot of empty venti cups is what he has to show for. And it. Cake pop sticks, I would think.
Yeah, I do love them, but I guess it's really your means have to be there to support the lifestyle that you want. And that's what we talk about. What is the thing? If you want to buy Starbucks every day, how do we make that happen for you? If you don't care about that, you want to take a trip to Italy? Let's make that happen. And I'll tell you something. I was thinking about this, like, my shallow desires, like what I really want, the reason that I want to make money on the shallow end, I want to get a spray tan every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I can't justify paying for it. I want to get my lashes done. I want to get my hair done. And I want Botox. These are things that I want. And if I don't have the funds coming in, I cannot pay for those things. Now, on the long term, I want to buy a cabin in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I got to be thinking, is this daily Starbucks habit, it's not going to put me in the poorhouse, but it's certainly not going to help me get those things that I want.
That brings up such an amazing point. It's about bringing to light and having a level of awareness about everything that happens in terms of going in and coming out, yeah. And then prioritizing. I'm assuming that's what I'm hearing. It's about sitting down there and saying short-term and long-term and prioritizing. Here's the question that comes up a lot, and this has actually come up with my daughter and my son-in-law too, because he's an engineer and she's a teacher, and they make pretty decent money and they have a house and it's great. But, and especially with your generation, and most of my clients are women between 25 and 40. It's the millennial generation.
Right.
It's the, whatever we happen to do and whatever we try to do, we still can't even pay the major stuff, including school loans and mortgages and just the grown-up stuff. Yeah. We can't, even if we cover all of that, we have 8 cents left. And we have nothing that we can put into savings. And then when you get into a situation where you feel like it's a scarcity thing and you're pulling back and you can't even get a McDonald's coffee for a dollar, then you get bitter. And then then you go on and just crazy. Then you go to Europe and then you do. So how do you approach women that come into you with that situation?
Yeah. Okay, so two things. One of the first books that I read about this was by David Bach. It's called Smart Women Finish Rich. That book changed my life. That I couldn't recommend it higher. He is a fantastic author. It's a great book. And he has books of that kind, like 10 of them. So I highly recommend that. I think that if you have this scarcity mindset in anything, you're going to lean towards that way. It's not just in finances, it's in anything. If you have a growth mindset, it's going to change the way that you look at everything. And I completely sympathize with the people who are, they're trying, they're paying their bills, they're paying off their student loans, which are never ending. They have a mortgage, they're trying to be adults, and they're still not making ends meet. Take him or leave him. Dave Ramsey, I respect the heck out of him. I really do appreciate what he's taught. I followed his principles. They've really helped me a lot. And one of the things that he says is it's meant to be made funny, but like, you should be selling so many things that the kids think that they're next. And so I'll give you a quick example. We had a garage sale a couple weeks ago. We just were like, get rid of everything. I don't care. I don't want it here. Get rid of it. We made $600, which was honestly, I'd say, pretty great for a Saturday. My kids had a blast. It wasn't a ton of work. It was super fun. And we are putting that money towards a trip, towards a little trip to the mountains. But if we had debt, I would be putting that money towards that debt just to keep chipping away at it, keep paying off on it.
Would you be putting all of that money towards the debt, or would you take a good portion of it towards the debt and also have a level or a piece of that for some fun stuff to reward yourself?
To not go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you're asking my philosophy, yes.
Okay.
That philosophy is extreme, and it definitely works. That's go until you pay it all off. I am of the school of thought where if you're depressed and you hate everything and you don't see that you're making any progress at all, and you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, it's going to be difficult. So I'd say give yourself a little, I'm all for a reward. When I became a financial coach, my reward was I took myself to my favorite Mexican restaurant, and then I got a milkshake at my favorite place on the beach, and I walked on the beach.
It doesn't matter how much it is, right? It's a matter of really it's rewarding yourself. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. See, I agree with you 110% because the people that I've known and also want my own experience is if I make $600 on something and I have to put $600 into paying off a credit card, right. There's no fun in that at all. It's not right. Like I know I did put myself in position of having the debt in and of itself and I'm trying to right. create accountability correct. For it. But still, come on, you got to give yourself a little bit here and there to keep yourself going, right?
I totally agree. And on that note, you'd mentioned something earlier, but the one thing that I like to teach my clients is it's an acronym. It's called the MEPS map. So it's mental, emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual health. Does financial start with an F? No. And I know that. So don't come for me about it. But we were talking about this in a class that I lead on Thursdays, and we were talking about how your financial health is just one piece of it. And when you get that in order, and you know this, when you get that in order, it almost sparks you to want, okay, let me get my physical health in order. Let me start eating better. If I'm going to get that house in order, I got to get this house in order. Okay. And then talking mm-hmm. about your spirituality, maybe I want to check in on that. Emotional, maybe I want to reconnect with some friends. Maybe I want to be more purposeful about my connections. Maybe I need to start journaling. And I really just feel like it's holistic. You can't just look at one piece of the puzzle. It's all together. And that's why when you do something like that and you don't get rewarded for it, you're missing a piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. When your clients come into you for financial coaching, do you sometimes say, hold up a second, maybe you should start with this instead because you're way off track on mental, physical, emotional or something? Does that ever come around? Do you ever start from a different angle?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a girl, actually, one of my first clients, she was so willing to learn. She was so wonderful. 21, no guidance at home. And so we were talking about, okay, so your first goal is going to be to have an emergency account, a savings of $1,000. So we don't know what's going to happen. But if you're not actively saving for that, the next time you do have an emergency, it will drain you. And then you'll go into credit card debt. And we don't want that to happen. She didn't have any debt at that time, which was great. So we were talking about that. Genuinely, she said, okay, great. So do I go to a bank? Didn't have a clue as to the first step as to how to open a bank account. Yikes. Okay. So then that opened up a whole can of worms. Mm-hmm. When we talked about you know why she didn't have a savings account? Mm-hmm. Because she'd been covering her parents mm-hmm. who were struggling in a variety of ways, who were not taking care of themselves. And so we had to really dial it back. And so you think it's presenting as a financial issue. Not even close. That just mm-hmm. happened to be a symptom of the problem.
Mm-hmm. But that's the nuance of what you do. That's a good coach is the one that asks questions and understand there's a stories behind everything, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important point to bring up in terms of finance is a component. Money management is a component. It's a component about your self-esteem. It's a component about your confidence, about your life system that you have in place, about your foundation and how stable it is, about your tribe around you, about your support around you. And so it begs the question, when somebody does come in and you've got a bunch of stuff, and I know that you do a real good deep dive forensic with them in terms of really understanding and getting a good inventory. Given a typical situation, a woman comes into you, what is the first thing that you have her focus on in terms of just the first step in this process?
Sure. So first, I would, like you said, I need to get a history. Why are you here? And what do you hope to do? And then I would have her fill out one of our budget forms so I know what's coming in and what's going out. Mm-hmm. If those things are totally off, that's probably a starting point, but why are they totally off? How long have they been totally off? And then I also want to know, what are we working towards together? Because again, like I said, if your goal is to, I have a couple right now, they no kids, they just want to travel. Mm-hmm. Love that for you guys. So we don't need to worry about college savings plans. We need to figure out how you're going to go to Europe for 3 months and you guys can work remotely. That's a great goal. But if a woman's coming in on her own, when she's a successful, independent woman, her goals are going to be totally different. And so that's what we would need to figure out because it's not about what I want for them. It's about them doing the work to know that they can stand on their own 2 feet. They can have the confidence in themselves to take the next step to have a successful now and a successful future.
Everybody has a different story, but coming into it, you've got to be, it's like when my clients come into me. And I said, you got to be open with me and you got to be honest with me if we're going to make this thing work, because really more what this is more about is about you creating some sense of balance and understanding and living within your life and then moving forward. And then, which brings up the thing that you said, which I think is very important, and it's the growth mindset versus the scarcity mindset.
Right.
Do you find is that is with a lot of clients that they're coming in and that's the big obstacle that they have to overcome or make the shift?
Oh my gosh, that was my biggest obstacle. And I still struggle with that. It's so difficult to look at your finances and go, let me just hold on to it because I don't know when it's going to be gone. You never know what's going to happen. We had a house fire back in February. Had no plans of that happening. Like life can change in an instant. And so that almost made me grab even tighter and say, I got to take control of this. And that's not the right way to look at it. But on a funny note, I had a client last week and we're saying, okay, are you guys ready to, who's ready to go through this budget? And half of them like raise their hand. She audibly said, I don't want to. And
yeah.
I said, okay, yeah. Totally get it. Why don't you want to? She said, I'm afraid of what I'm going to find.
Yeah.
And she said, honestly, it's almost easier to not know because I haven't gotten overdrafted yet. And so if it's not broken, don't fix it. And I said, all right, that was a terrible plan and it's not going to last forever, sister. And why don't we get you
until it breaks, right?
Yeah. Let's get some parameters and let's figure out how you can still spend and how you can have an even better life than the one that you have. And she's in scarcity right now, but I can totally see she'll move to growth. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to.
Isn't that weird? That's the case. And that happens like a lot too, in terms of that mentality in regards to, I just don't want to confront it. I don't want to bring it up to the surface because then I have to deal with it. So I'm just better being cool until I overdraft and then I'll go freak out.
Exactly. And at that point, it's too late. And how much have you overdrafted by? And how much I just saw a statistic the other day. It said the average, and I think this was low, the average adult American has $6,000 worth of credit card debt.
$6,000? Yeesh.
Yeah. And that's a lot of adult Americans. And that's if you're making $25 minimum payments on that, tell me when you're going to get out of it.
You're screwed. And especially due to the fact that since the inflation hit, the credit card interest rates have gone up. What are they at, like 25% now or something? It's almost like hard money, Guido, break your leg type of thing now. It's just
literally,
right? So given all that, what are your 2 cents of wisdom to somebody that wants to start on this process and may be scared and maybe not looking at their financials and maybe freaking out, but they know deep down inside something's got to change?
Right. There's a building that I drive past in my city pretty regularly, and someone painted on the side of it, begin anywhere. And I don't know who did it. I'm so inspired by it. And every time I've driven past, it's awoken something within me. You just begin anywhere. And it, you know what? It is going to be scary. And that's okay, because change is inevitable, but growth is optional. And I really stand behind that. It's such a major motto in my life. But one thing I would say is just pull up a bank statement. That's not too scary. It's a little scary. It's not too scary. And let's just look at what you're spending. One thing I found and this wasn't scary, subscriptions that I didn't have anymore, but I was still paying on. That's such an easy thing that you could save some money on. And so I canceled like 3 of them, save $50 a month. But for how long was I wasting $50 a month? I don't know. But that's an easy thing to do. Pull up your credit card statements and see what are you spending that you really, when I look at my statements, sometimes I'm like, I really do feel good about that purchase, or that thing was an investment, or that thing was for my kids, or that made our house better, whatever the case may be. And then there's other stuff I look at and I'm like, $20 at McDonald's, who stole my credit card? Surely that wasn't me doing that.
Now that's just a Big Mac and fries, right? For $20. I know.
That was a bad purchase. And so it doesn't have to be doom and gloom. It can really be something that gets you on the path to the next right thing. And the other thing that I will say is if you're a couple, do it together. Mm-hmm. You have to. It's so much more than your financial health. It is your emotional health. It's your relational health. And if just one of you is in charge of this, bring the other one in. And if you're the one who's not in charge of it and you just implicitly trust your partner, join them, because it shouldn't be a solitary activity. It really is so much better when you're together.
That's my 1,000% agree. on that. Because you have to bring the, it's a team effort. And even though somebody might be doing the balancing and stuff, the other person needs to know and needs to be a part of it. Even if they don't want to, I think it's really important that they do need it. Sarah, thank you so much. That was awesome.
Thank you.
And so it's Sarah LaChance. It is the Flourishing Coaching. And where can they get a hold of you? And do you have a quick little intro thing that you have for potential clients? Kind of throw that out there.
I do. So you could go to weareflourishcoaching.com and you could schedule a free 30-minute consultation there. We can chat about everything good, bad, and the ugly in finances and figure out a next step plan for you. And then I am also on social media under Sarah LaChance, or on Instagram, it's actually She Fights For.
She Fights For. I love that. Okay, great. Sarah LaChance, thank you so very much. And also, I will put all that information in the show notes as well. If you want to get a hold of me, you know how to get a hold of me. And you can also go to tonydufresne.com. If you can't spell that, because nobody can, you can go to theconfidencedoc.com. I have a speaking of payments or paying in Starbucks, I have a brand new little mini ebook that's out that's based upon my keynote presentation, and it's called Transform Your Life, True Confidence for Women. And it's cheaper than a grande pumpkin spice latte and a cake pop. So if you want to save yourself, being a body dysmorphic myself, I'm saving myself 550 calories. And the extra caffeine boost that I probably don't need because I already had a coffee today. So if you want to go do that, please do that. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. You can hold me at tony@theconfidencedoc.com. Thanks again, and I will talk to you next week.